bunch of colds going around and stuff, but greater is he that's in us than the one that's in the world, the old devil. Amen.
Amen.
No matter what he throws at us. You know, when you have a Bible preaching church, remnant churches, many like us, we're not unique. Don't claim to be. But there's many churches like it. The devil does not like Bible preaching churches. He will try to attack, to discourage, to rob from, whatever. So always be on guard that we need to be, keep this church in prayer.
Amen.
This ministry in prayer, yourselves in prayer. We have a real enemy, and God wants to do something in this world we're living right now. We're watching around the world right now and ready to come.
Amen.
The world is moving quickly and fastly, and we're seeing the divide between the good and evil, and it's so plain today, it's unbelievable. And you got to make a choice. Whose house are you going to serve?
Amen.
What house? We're going to serve the Lord, amen, in this house.
Amen.
But so anyway, it's interesting times we're living in. And some of the things happening today that I hear on the news and knowing what's happening on, it just blows me away to think that adults especially can act the way they're acting. In this world today, Jesus' word, he told us it was going to get darker and darker, and it is, even in the middle of what's happening, even with the promise of golden age and with finances and everything. But do not be deceived. The devil is angry. His time is short, and we need to be on the ministry of VBS to reach these young people, to let them know about what the lies are being told in their schools, about all those things. We need to preach against, because they're anti-God, all of them.
Yeah.
So we need to be one of those churches with people who will speak out in Holy Ghost boldness. You go do it. That's how you get boldness. Just go do it. Amen?
Amen.
You get, but praise the Lord. So let's all stand out when we pray before our Lord this morning, if you can there easily. Lord, I thank you for moving through our choir, moving through our worship leaders, our worship team. Fire, for I believe it's you that does that. You are the one. You told us in your word, you build your church. Man doesn't do it. Man can only do it through marketing spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're with us this morning, and those watching by social media, that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and lives. And Lord, that you live this life for you, Lord, on this journey through earth. So we commit this time to you. I speak the precious blood of Jesus Christ over every person in this room. Attack of the enemy that would try to tear down and discourage and disrupt and distract anybody from hearing your word. Lord, we take authority that you've given us in every evil spirit that would try to come into the church, the spirit of witchcraft, in any way that tries to come in through idol worship or anything. We stand in your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No other name. And we thank you, Lord, again for guiding us and bringing us together as the body of Christ said.
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody before you sit down and say, I don't want to be a weed. You notice all the weeds out in our grass today? Those. You say, where did that guy get that from? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited about Jesus. He's on the move. Glory to God. In the tares. The wheat in the tares. Hallelujah. Barna Research Group that studies has become a way of life. 1 in 7 adults change churches each year. 1 in 6 are moving around, hopping churches. It's hard to grow spiritually when you do that, but that's what we do today, according to Barna Research. That fickleness churches. Evangelical congregations of more than 2,000 people that mix scripture with social and recreational and entertainment programs that we're watching today. Happening within the big mega churches. It's entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. I just saw the one where the pastor entered church hydraulic pulleys on a great big whatever it was. I don't even know what he was on, but he was standing out there with wires on him too, and he was to get the attention, big thing out of this big high ceiling. So who was the attention toward?
Yeah.
It was toward him. But I'm here today to bring attention to what we're seeing. And that's why churches like Crossfire, we're going to continue to stay faithful in the Word. We're not trying to make friends, marketing. We're going to preach the Word of God. Because that's what the world needs. When it's all said and done, it's the Word of God that is going to stand. Everything else is going to pass away. After watching the University of Alabama, where President Trump was giving his commitment speech this last week, I believe it was, really neat. They interviewed a lot of young college students. The ones that I saw was probably 3, 4, 5, or 6 or whatever. But they were the neatest on a national television about what they want to see this country become. President Trump gave a very inspiring message to this young graduating young people. Stood up and just, they were so thankful for President Trump coming to encourage them. And their goal is to see the United States of America. In my heart, should Jesus tarry, that this generation, that generation, I believe is Generation Z, what is it, Z? I believe God is going to raise them up. Watch those young people. All of our young people that are coming up after will be in that grouping as we see God begin to move through these young people graduating up. God's always going to have a church. No matter what the devil tries. I mean, the media always shows us young people that are, you know, yellow, pink, golden, stupid and ridiculous, but God's got an army.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of young people that are just standing there waiting to come out, and they're going to be proclaiming the gospel and all them coming up, and that's what they need to see, amen? Because even some of us older generations went off the cuckoo clock. I don't know if Jesus, maybe not, but a lot of his parables have to do with seeds and soil. Apparently, he wasn't very fond of weeds. Anybody love weeds here?
No.
But by evidence of the parable that Jesus talked about, he wasn't very fond of them either. And the wheat and the tares, how many know the tares are wheat? Eh? But in his story in Matthew 13, along with several other parables about the planting and harvesting, here's what he says. And by the way, Jesus' parables were stories. Jesus always told the truth, and those parables had a deep meaning. And he wanted us to be aware of it, and he made it simple for anyone to be able to understand it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of the field. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared, the tiller came, said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together, the reapers. Gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. This morning quickly. It's the tares. The wheat represents the true believers and those who have been born again into the kingdom of God. The worldly, the false Christians, false prophets, teachers, your next door neighbor. They could be for a family member living within your home. Any like this morning and be a weed, a tare. Like the tares in the parable, unsaved souls. Again, I want to stop there. Unsaved, and I like to keep repeating it. I like to fight against it in Jesus' name. It's not the unchurched. There's no such thing as the unchurched. Job, place, or you go into a home or whatever you want to call it. Unchurched doesn't make any sense. It's lost. World around us, and people don't want to hear the word lost. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're lost and doomed. And they tend to share certain characteristics. The tares in the parable, again, unsaved souls tend to share certain characteristics. This parable, First, the tares are deceptive because they can easily be confused for wheat. Now, if you've been raised on a farm, I was raised on a farm starting out in life, two different types, you would see these tares, you would see the wheat as it's growing. When they're young, you can't tell the difference at all. They look identical. But as they grow, you can see the wheat. And they grow right next to each other's and in each other's. And if you try to pull one out, you can pull the wheat with it. And that's what it's talking about here. And in fact, most scholars believe that Jesus was describing a specific type of weed known as the bearded darnel, which is a poisonous rye. Wheat's evil twin. And that's about right, too, because it looks almost identical to the wheat. Darnel typically flourishes in the same fields as wheat, so great that in some you also as false wheat, because that's what it looks like. And then Jesus goes on to explain in Matthew chapter 13 and 37 through both the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. Jesus sows the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares sow them in the is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Can't get any more clear than that, can you? The similarity between can't always tell the difference. You can't. The world is filled with believers and unbelievers. People are saved and people are lost. And today, but you and I aren't able to tell which is which today. You know, I walked into the holiday station after church here a couple Sundays ago. I walked in and the clerk behind the counter said, "Did you just get out of church?" Now, why would she say that? Shorts or jeans with holes in them and a ragged t-shirt, she wouldn't have maybe thought of church, huh? Just saying. Church, I say, "Lord, I want to glorify you." It's not because I think I'm something or different from anybody. No, I do it because this is me. You don't have to, but this is me. Seeing that she said that. Because I know when we grew up, the ladies, man, everybody was dressed to the hilt. In fact, my wife told me every Easter they had all the ladies wore hats. She was always excited about that time. They had their Easter dresses and their hat much. I was raised Lutheran, but anyway, you could tell the difference back then, couldn't you? A lot easier if somebody's going to church. Okay, I'll get off. Even the latter, again, the false believer may not realize that they are actually unsaved. They may not even understand that. Verses 21 and 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness." Do we have lawlessness in the land today? But all these people claiming to do all these good things, but in the middle of it, there we have lawlessness. This also, many professing Christians, they're not saved. That's scary, isn't it? Yeah. Churches across America that say they're Christian, professing it, but they're not. They may be getting involved in teaching Sunday school. They may be involved in doing communion, the other things, but they're not saved. That's who the Lord's talking about in the world and in the church. So it's better to be a part. They do wonderful works, perhaps, sincerely, perhaps, not profess to be Christians, but who instead are unsaved, and they do wonderful works by Satan in order to lead people to follow a false Christ. And that's what's crept into the church today. Some people are doing great works, but it's not of God. We'll turn them away saying, "I never knew you." That's a very scary scripture. In other words, these false believers never were saved to begin with. They just thought, raise your hand and say, "I'm a Christ follower." Born again. Anybody can be a Christ follower. But you need to be born again, according to that in this church, just for the reminder, because we have many people checking in and watching there too. But we need to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, "You must be born again." Don't assume that you are wheat. Don't assume it. When you are truly born again, then you can be assured you are wheat. These folks in Matthew 7 seemingly genuinely surprised that they weren't. I worked when I was 21 and I had my first job. I had a boss that shortly after I got saved there, he was a good Lutheran, but he was telling all the good things he does in his church. And I knew him personally, been out with him personally every week. And I'm thinking, how could this guy teach Sunday school? You know what I mean? I bet he'd be surprised that he wouldn't get that guy because he taught Sunday school. And there's many that sit in churches like that all the time thinking, God, I got points with God because I'm doing good things. Do good things as being Christians, but we don't work our way to get points with God. We don't ever do that. They talked a lot about all the stuff talk about, what they should have talked about. They didn't say, I'm a sinner. I made a mess of my life, and I realize how desperately I need a Savior. I repent of all my sins. He never heard that from them and never said that they did either. The difference between a believer and a make-believer isn't it happens in the heart. That's the thing we forget about. People look at the outward appearance, don't we? We size people up by what they look when God was choosing a king. He said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not onto his countenance or onto the height of his stature, because I have refused him. It's on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks on the heart. And right now in this building alone and those watching, listening by social media, God's looking. He's looking at our hearts. Right now, the Holy Spirit, he's looking at our hearts. People don't realize we serve a living God.
Amen.
Whether you feel him or not, he's living and he's here today. Yes. And he's keeping track of everything. The heart reveals what you're really made of, not by what you look like on the outside. First, tares are damaging? Weeds are damaging. If you go out in our yard right now and look over there, there's all kinds of weeds and dandelions growing in the midst of the grass out. You're going to pull that grass out too. Because there's so many of them. You don't need to water weeds. They just grow. Weed coming out of the ground. That's why they're deceiving and they're damaging. In the parable, when the workers asked the farmer if they should pull up the nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together for the wheat into my barn. The farmer didn't want his workers to pull up the weeds because they looked too similar to the wheat. And he's in the process because tares, the roots snarled up and they entwined themselves with the root of the wheat. So when you pull the tare up, you pull the wheat along with it. I remember growing up as a boy, he had tomato plant, did great. But anyway, he always taught us when there was weeds in the garden, be careful not to pull up the weed out because weeds come up everywhere. And he didn't want us to pull them if they were right next to there until they grew up and got mature. Because you can destroy it. They damage. So be that the roots from the weeds, like I said, they entangle themselves in the wheat roots so that if you pull the right plants out, the wheat's still going to be damaged. It may still be there, but it's damaged because if you tend the garden, same thing as I just said. Tares have very invasive root systems that quickly take over the surrounding earth, stealing vital nutrients. Grass kind of that grows over, it takes over your yard. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives if we're always surrounded by weedy people. Because I like it. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives if we're always surrounded by weedy people. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's just like your mom used to tell you, one rotten apple can spoil. Who you're running around with, who you're associating with on a regular basis, they can ruin you even though you may have done nothing. But just being with that person or troublemakers, people will look at you as a troublemaker too just because you hang around with them. Been there, done that as a young guy. So I learned that one. is just aware of who we are associating with. The world's filled with both believers and unbelievers, amen? Christians, we work in the same offices. We go to the same gym with them. In some cases, we may even live under the same roof with that person. As Christians, we need to exercise this. Understand me. God wants you and I to reach a lost world, amen?
Yes.
He wants us out there mixing in the world to reach people, but not to become part of. It's like the first time somebody's trying to justify sin in their life. They'll say, Jesus ate with sinners. He sure did. But I can guarantee you 100% when you start. And he was teaching them words and pointing them to their eternal destiny. He was trying to win them. They didn't win him. He was trying to win them. But whatever, and they can influence you, you hang around them enough, pretty soon you become like them.
Yeah.
I've seen people like that, who never, that they hang around with all the time, that does it, and now they picked it up too. That's why be careful who you're allowing into your life. You need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
It says, I mean, whether they call themselves a Christian or not, who influences your life right now? I don't care if you're young or old either. You know, did you know there's a lot of senior citizens that are dummies too?
Yeah.
Sitting in casinos, doing things and wasting their money when they should be giving it to Crossfire?
That's right.
Ridiculous. Mark, play that short video clip I put.
I know that I drank like Eric Church, but man, I got a heart for God, y'all. I believe God can change and God can heal.
That's what's being taught to our young people today. That's Jelly Roll, if anybody knows him. He claims to be a Christian. But you heard him out of his own mouth. I swear like a sailor. And people, if you heard that crowd, it was going wild. And that's what deception is coming into the church today. Watering it, who swears, and you'll continue smoking, and you'll continue drinking. Now, he says he's on a progressive route to be saved. That's not scriptural. I used to do those things. But when Christ saved me, he took it away from me. But how could Jelly Roll truly pray? How can he pray for a drunkard and say, Jesus is the answer, man? How could the man who can't control his tongue, or the lady continually on the news today, especially from one side, how can you pray for somebody that says, I don't want to do that anymore? Could he walk up to himself? He can't. His testimony is shot. But yet, people think it's like this and swear and okay drinking and whatever. God warns us against the weed, and that guy smokes it. Put him down. I believe God can still be a work, but you'll never hear him mention any of his music. His hardcore music is Christian. It's got Christian lyrics in it, but I can hear him saying, Lord, I did this in your name. I prayed for people. I delivered people. Did he? You just saw him. You read his bio, and I have. I read a little bit of it. He never mentions one time ever repenting before God. He mentions that Methodist churchgoer. And when his dad died, there was many people from the church that loved him. But he said, you know what really excited me? There was many people from... He said, I want to be like my dad. There's a mixed message here, isn't there? It's confused still living in sin and adultery and fornication and different things within the church because it's been watered down by people, especially musicians and actors, and they're Christian now, and they can say and do anything. But I tell you what, his life, what he just said is contrary, and he's been a while. It isn't just like, but it's contrary to this, whether it's him or anybody else. His testimony is contrary to this. What? I hope he gets saved before he finishes his journey. Because that testimony to me, it says to avoid the appearance of evil, and you don't go into a church and promote it. Or what is different from him than a hardcore worldly person out there if you go meet him right now? What would be the difference? You know what the difference would be? He's in terms. But what's the difference? Jesus said we become new creatures in him. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Be ye whole appearance of evil. I mean, it goes on, whether it's him or any of the other ones out there right now that are promoting it, and even within the churches and preachers doing it. It's unbelievable. It's scary because I believe Jesus is coming soon, and he's doing, Satan's doing. Christians or non-Christians, they have the potential to influence your life in a positive way. Are you hanging out with a brother or sister in Christ who claims to be a Christian? But are you going to become like them, or are they going, you going to influence them according to the Word of God? Right. Be careful who you're hanging out with. You're committed. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. But yet I've confronted Christians who have continually used cursing in front of me, using God's name in vain. And he tell me how wonderful God is and how God saved him in Vietnam and everything. And I turned to him and I said, did God really save you in Vietnam? He said, if God saved you, why do you use his name repeatedly in a curse way? And he turned around and walked away from me. I didn't do that to bring judgment upon him. I want him to be aware what you're doing. If you profess Christian, you ought to be living. Am I? You still with me, people? Because see, when it gets quiet, when you preach the truth like this, it gets scary. God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faith. It's not always an exciting thing to hear. That's why there's many, many small churches preaching the gospel today. But we're to reach these lovers, not to condemn them. Jesus didn't, we don't. I'm upset with the Christian who people come into the church and trying to water down the gospel. Anybody, whether they call them contrary to your faith and principles, is a weed. They're a tare. Anybody watching, a weed, and you're a tare that can destroy other Christians. And you need to repent of it. Amen?
Amen.
Preaching to myself. Matthew 7, 16 and 18. Ye shall know them by their fruit. That's how you know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit.
Yes.
And that's why when people can stand in pulpits and cuss and swear, promote sin from the pulpits, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. God, in your testimony to a world. Because see, people are watching us, and they need Jesus. How many agree that the Word really said it in the past when I was a teen challenger, the real short one? The guy said to me, he said, why don't you? He said, do you have wine in your refrigerator? He said, why not? I said, number one, Jesus took it away from me. He didn't take it. I gave it to him. I didn't want to drink it anymore. And that guy was a big guy. He got tears in his eyes. And I told him, I said, because I'm here to tell you this evening, Jesus Christ can deliver you and set you free. He's either the answer or he's not. There have always been men and women often appear to be true prophets or teachers or pastors or counselors with marvelous new spiritual messages. But beware. Beware. Tested by the fidelity of the Holy Spirit. It says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, if they're trying to justify sinful lifestyles, there's no light in them. It's not this gospel. It's another Jesus. And several decades ago, around the turn of a century, some musicians noticed that all the errand boys in a certain part of London all whistled out the tune. After a while, they discovered that the reason that their poor pitch was that the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. The errand boys had unconsciously they were following what they heard. In the same way, we tend to think and act like the people with whom we surround ourselves. Unbelieving, immoral, compromising people, even the ones who call themselves Christians, your faith and your spiritual life will be damaged, and it happens with children. The children will be compromisers many times, not all the time. Only by the grace of God can He change a heart. And eventually tares are destroyed. That's the outcome. The parable ends with tares being bundled and burned while the wheat is carried gleefully into the farmer. Jesus explains the part of the parable saying in Matthew, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, this of His kingdom. All things that offend, and them which do iniquity, lawlessness, sin, and shall cast them into gnashing of teeth." That's the outcome of being a weed. These verses lead us to the most sober part of the reality of this parable. In that word or any pastor, the ears go closed spiritually. But we need to open our ears. Jesus spoke more on hell than He did heaven, because He doesn't want you or I or any. You don't want to go there. I looked this up. According to 2% of American adults believe in hell. 59%. But less than 2% think it's likely they will go there. In other words, a slight majority of Americans still believe hell exists, but they don't take it seriously. They don't think it's going to happen. Several years ago, 2002, the Los Angeles Times featured a front page article titled, "Hold the Fire and Brimstone." Evangelical church leaders were purposely omitting the theme of divine retribution. They no longer agreed that they will not preach on hell. Churches don't. They will not bring it up. It's easy to understand why. Scripture writers describe the day of judgment, and it's said things like in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy." 2/3 of His parables relate to resurrection and judgment in the Bible. In a pint-sized parable about paths, Jesus said again, and I've read this before too, "Matter, wide is a gate and broad is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be go there and at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads you. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Who are you attending in concerts? Who are you surrounding your life with? Is it a weed? I love witnessing. I love going out and talking to unsaved people to get them saved. I love doing that. But I'm not going to get involved with them. Won't do that. But I'll sure tell them about Jesus. Done it many times. And it's exciting. Amen?
Amen.
I watched Him do it within a moment's time. Even the most famous verse in the Bible contains a one-word picture of hell. The word perish. The world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In hell, everything perishes. Hope perishes. No more hope for all eternity. Happiness perishes. Joy is gone. It perished. Those things alone, thinking about separation from a holy God. And everything that you would love to have in this life, you'd love to have happiness and joy and contentment. It's done within a moment. That's why we need to be urgent within our desire to want to live for people around us. Even the body, they perish. Like tares in a fiery furnace, hell consumes everything that enters in. They're in a constant in hell. It's your body will be your soul and body. Mark 9:48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Using a similar simile, the last Old Testament prophet described the for behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall be neither root nor branch. God warns us repeatedly, even within churches that don't. What makes, we all love to hear things, don't we? How are we going to get rich? Prosperity preaching. How we can make our life our best day yet. And that's nothing wrong with that. And it's all in here too. But you got to preach the whole console, the whole thing. So I'll just stop there. But in conclusion, the bad news is tares are deceptive, they're damaging, and they're ultimately destroyed. But the good news is tares don't have to be tares. The agriculture world, weeds never transform into wheat. They never do. This sort of magical metamorphosis is unheard of, happens every day, because of someone who died up on that cross, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm an example of a tare being turned into wheat. And if you're in here being Christian, loving Jesus and living for him, you are a wheat. The Bible says that God doesn't want anyone destroyed. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, all should come to. Say it out loud. Devil doesn't want us to speak that word. He requires it. All should come to repentance. Turning away. That means turning away. It's not, repentance is not an emotion. You turn away from the bad things, the evil things, the sinful things in your life, the destructive things. You turn away from them when you come to Christ. Should come to repentance. Because we're all born sinners. Every one of us. The whole world is tares, and God has changed and made. When the end comes near, there's going to be few wheat and more tares, because people do not want to live the life for Jesus. God longs for every tare to become a wheat. And if you accept him today, he'll turn you from a tare into wheat. Let's all stand. Again, I'm going to keep giving messages in the hour we're living right now. I'm going to keep giving them. Jesus loves every one of us in here. I'm going to tell you another thing. Jesus desires for us to this life and life more abundantly. We got to be keep told what not to do, don't we? We're leaky vessels that draws against us. Life happens. Hard things in our life come up. And we have a tendency to want to return into the evil way. I know what it's like. I'm part of it. As we get upset, we want to return to the negative things. And that's what the devil does. Instead of God saying, come on to me. Cast all your care upon me. Get angry. You don't have to get fearful. If you're going through, I don't care if it's physical, financial, relational, whatever. If you're going through it today, you can cast it upon Jesus. Yes. Never experience it, because we take it back. That's right. And we don't allow him to do the work that he desires to do. And sometimes you got to do it. He is working to grow fruit in us, the fruit of the Spirit. And many times our trials and our struggles are developing the patient and trusting and full of joy and love in the midst of it. And God is continually working. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus. So how many in here this morning want to be a weed? I'm so happy no hands went up. If it did, I'd probably walk back to you.
What is scary if I told you I'm not sure?
What's that? Hearing that, that's honesty. If you're not sure, we want to pray with you, because God wants you to be sure.
Yes.
That's why we're doing what we're doing. He didn't look at the math. He looked at the one, and he said, I'll leave the 99 to go get you. And you just said it. I'm not sure. Just put up your hand. Is there anybody? What's your name?
Commodore.
What is it?
Commodore.
Here, I'm going to pray for you. People care about you in here.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We care about you. I gave you a Bible last week. Just hold on a moment. Let's pray for him right now.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you that if you die or he comes, you want to go to be with him, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to know that for sure.
Yeah.
Jesus will do that right now, this moment. Like many of us.
Yeah.
You're with a bunch of people. Imperfect people. Everybody in here is imperfect like me and you. And we all need a Savior. He's not going to save you. But if you mean it when you speak it, watch what God's going to do in your life ahead.
Right.
He's going to take this to this. Amen. Everybody okay? Let's all agree. Put our hands toward him.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you say it out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need salvation.
I ask you, Jesus,
forgive me of all my sins from the day I was born. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I believe you came to earth, died on the cross. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart through your Holy Spirit and save me. I believe you did, Lord. I ask you to forgive me and that the blood of Jesus wash me clean. And I receive you right now with your help going forward. Help me to turn away from wicked things, what I watch and what I do. I want you to of my whole being this day in Jesus' name. Commodore, if you meant that in your heart, did you mean that? Now, but in order to, Bible says to work out, real quick, folks, work out your salvation. You need to read the word, Dave, like you're doing. You've been good. You're 2 weeks in a row here now. That's good.
Hallelujah.
So you keep doing that. If you got any questions, let me give you this too. I don't want to forget to help you and answer some questions that you got even right now. It's a very nice manual. You put that with your Bible.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
Commodore, brother in Christ, here's our brother. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, this is a hard pipe by Christians who are prideful. And a weed. If you're in here this morning and you say, Lord, I've been a weed. I've been acting like a weed. And I need forgiveness. Willing to be bold enough to put your hand up and say, I've been a weed. God sees those hands. I'm just going to ask everybody in general again. Anybody else who wants to join them right now, I want you to come forward. And we're going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will begin to do a supernatural heart in the lives of... I believe Crossfire. I really do. The devil's fighting hard against us. But I believe because God's on the move. And if we're all here, I don't want to be a weedy. Kind of close in so everybody can come up here. Important, vitally important. Because whether you feel it or not, the Holy Spirit is doing work, and those watching by social media can agree with us in every area. And we all have a tendency to be a weed. When we shouldn't be. Today is where we are to be salt and light. Not a honesty. We're all in this fight together. And you're not up here saying that I'm a dirty, rotten old sinner if you're born again. You're just up here saying, no, I've been a weed.
Man.
We're entering a time when things are going to change rapidly for the body of Christ.
Yes.
God is going to raise up the true born-again believer, the book of Acts.
All right.
We're going to finish it. The world was scared of the book of Acts Christians. Why? Because they repented and they went out and they began to proclaim the sick and they raised dead people. And people got born again. We're entering that time. God's going to finish this church out by us. That's scripture. So I'm going to pray again, and you people know the way I do it. I'm going to say a prayer loud. You pray it out loud with me, or you can do your own. Doesn't make any difference. And my prayer means nothing. So are we all in agreement here?
Amen.
Let's come before our Lord. He's here right now. Lord, we are looking. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Lord Jesus. We ask for forgiveness.
For the things
in our lives
that have been weedy. Within
our lives. And Lord, we want to clean ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. And And that conviction will come within our hearts to help us to make right decisions to glorify you, Lord. Anything in my life that's contrary to your word. Help me to walk in power. Help me to walk in the anointing. Other people see it in me as I desire to live for you. So therefore, Jesus, from this moment on, with your help, that you want me to be. Not what the preacher wants, but what you want, Lord, according to your word. So I commit myself right now, Lord, renounce everything again that's contrary to your word in my life. And help me to be. And I know, Lord, that you will use me the way you designed me and desire to use me to reach the lost in my life. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So with the Lord's help, you're going to be, the devil never gives up on us, amen. Coon Rapids Boulevard, and somebody kind of cuts you off. And you say, they ain't going to do that and get away with that. Now you're becoming a weed again.
Yeah.
There, more than once. Don't even want to tell you. Somebody may say something that will offend you within this church before you walk out the door. Didn't mean to, but maybe it came. Or you can become a weed and say that creep. That dud. I'll get even. I'll smart off to. Takes work to be wheat.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We got to be wheat. We got to learn that in this hour we're living, because there's so much hate out there right now. We need to love each other's, respect each other's, and be kind one to another. Amen.
Yes.
Whether you're young or whether you're old. Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives. I thank you for every person here and those that weren't able to make it today and those that are wise.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for saving Commodore this morning.
Yes.
He's our brother in Christ.
Yes.
He may not be perfect because we're not. And there's other tares, there's other weeds watching today. We care about you. We care about weeds that walk into this building.
Yes.
We care about them, how to be wheat, that their life can be changed eternally.
Yes.
Move up every home here, Father. Continue to do a work within our body, within our church businesses. Father, continue to use us as a body of Christ out there doing the work you called us to do. And we commit everything to you right now, Lord, up here. All the struggles of those watching. We cast them all upon you right now, Lord, and not allow the devil to turn us into a weed, a griping, complaining. Help us to look to the cross where Jesus said it's finished and say, Lord, in spite of it, with your help, I'm going to keep a joyful heart, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, domestically. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you got time, you want to stop down there. But you look at somebody on the way out and say, with the Lord's help, I don't want to be a weed.